take you outside. I'm Chaotic Forager, and like the name suggests, I'm a sucker for wild food. I use my platform to increase awareness of what's living and growing around you, especially when it's a mushroom, and to give you some tips and tricks for how to use it safely and sustainably.
Hello, and welcome back to The Food Fix, the show where we talk to all kinds of folks about innovative ways to better feed the world. I am your host, Cassidy Huff.
And I'm your co-host, Nico Bradford.
Oh yeah, plot twist. We've got a co-host this week, throwing a new voice in the mix to keep you guys on your toes. I'm now like self-conscious because you're seeing how much I use my hands when I talk. Anyways, I'm just really excited to have a friend in the studio with me here. So, Nico, tell us, who the heck are you and why have I been granted the present of your presence today?
I write for the Great Lakes Echo, which is also a part of the Knight Center. We report on environmental happenings in the Great Lakes region, and this week I was working on a story that had a food fix angle. So we had this fun idea to collaborate and have me on the show.
Yes, and that's code for Nico did most of the work this week. She found the story, conducted the interview, and did most of the editing, so huge shout out to you. And it's a super duper fun story, too. Nico, tell us a little bit about who you interviewed.
So I interviewed Gabrielle Serberville, who is a TikToker who you may know as the Chaotic Forager. They educate people about foraging, especially when it comes to mushrooms.
Yeah, and they're from Michigan, right?
Yes, they are. They're actually located in Kalamazoo.
That's so fun. If I haven't made it clear, I'm located in Michigan, so it's always really fun to get a mitten story. Anyways, I was so excited to hear that we had a TikToker on the show this week. For those of you who somehow may not know what that means, TikTok is a social media platform where people, post short little videos. You heard a clip from one of their TikToks at the beginning of this episode. So basically, Gabrielle is like a pro at talking about science in a fun and engaging way.
Yeah, it was a super fun interview. I learned so much. I'm kind of a huge nerd about foraging and wild food, so this was a big treat for me. I'm really excited to share this episode with you guys.
I am too. I'm excited for sharing the episode. I mean, I'm not like a foraging nerd, but honestly, I'd like to be after this. But for our audience members who might not know what foraging is, can you give us a loose definition of what that means?
Yeah, so foraging is basically the act of going out into nature or even just your backyard or local park and finding your own food from the plants and mushrooms that you encounter.
How fun. I mean, who doesn't love free food? However, foraging, it's a tricky thing to get into. And why is that, Nico?
Well, if you make a mistake, you could die. And not great.
Yeah, no, the dying part does put a little bit of a damper on things. Turns out you can't eat every mushroom you spot in the wild. Shocking, I know. But hey, high risk, high reward, right? Anyways, any last words before we dive into this episode?
What doesn't kill you may be delicious. I think we're good to go, though. Let's turn it over to the expert.
Perfect. Let's rock and roll.
I'm Gabrielle Serberville. I'm a forager, a content creator online. I study mushrooms mostly, and I also do a lot of intermedia interdisciplinary art, a lot of which is about mushrooms and foraging and nature.
Wonderful. So how did you get started foraging?
That's kind of a hard question to answer because I feel like foraging has been a part of my life as long as I've had memories. So my first experience foraging was when I was 5. A neighbor pointed out the blueberries that were growing in my yard because my family had just moved there and I didn't know what they were. And once I could recognize blueberries, I started seeing them everywhere, which is kind of what happens when you start noticing wild food. You just start seeing more of it. So pretty soon I was interested in other things. And now it's kind of what I do.
What was it that grabbed your interest or sparked your passion for foraging?
I think that I've always been interested because the forest always just felt like a place that welcomed me. And I didn't feel like I had to be anything other than myself when I was out just picking blueberries. It's a really good way to just sort of let your mind wander. You can be curious without being judged. I've always felt most at home in, I guess, quote unquote, wild spaces.
Why did you decide to become a wild food educator? Why is it so important for you to share your knowledge?
There's so much that the natural world has to teach us, and modern life makes it harder to learn those things. I think that a lot of education about wild food, a lot of that knowledge has been kind of locked away and is sort of the property of a certain subset of people who can afford 40 acres and a cabin in the woods. I mean, I live in a city, so I most of the foraging I do is within like 20 to 40 minutes of my house. I think that we all benefit when our neighbors have a stake in what happens with our green spaces. And if we don't know what we have, we won't care about it.
Do you think that there is an intersection between foraging and living more sustainable lives?
Oh my God, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we talk about like all of these different things that we can do with our eating habits that are more sustainable for the earth, right? Veganism, locavores, and it doesn't get more local and it doesn't get more energy efficient than going out and like picking your own onion grass. It doesn't get more energy efficient than picking your own mushrooms if you can do it safely. I just think that the climate crisis and our personal responsibility for sustainability, we're just going to have to get more creative. It's going to have to be so many different ways that we choose to go about changing our habits. And I think that foraging is one of those creative ways that can drastically change the way that we eat for the better. Not to mention the fact that foraging local food, that local food is often way more nutrient dense than anything you can buy in a grocery store. You know, your average apple is sprayed at least 9 times before you eat it, and it's been sitting in a warehouse for a year. So you can imagine that the nutrient density of the wild apples that I'm picking or the abandoned orchards, you know, that is going to be quite a bit healthier for me too than eating something that comes from a grocery store.
So foraging seems like a lot of hard work. Can you actually forage enough for it to make a difference?
That is a good question. When it comes to like, okay, like percentages of your diet, some parts of the year, sure, I'm eating like up to 80% of my diet foraged. In seasons like winter, which we're just now entering, less than that, you know, much, much less than that, because food isn't as readily available and I don't have a root cellar, so I can't store tons of food for the winter. But even if you're starting small, which I think you should, it still makes a difference. It makes a difference for you.
What are your biggest tips for someone who wants to get started foraging?
I think my biggest tips are to start small, and not let yourself get too overwhelmed. So what I like to do when I'm introducing myself to a new plant or a new mushroom is I try to identify it 3 times before I will consume it, to make sure that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what I'm about to put in my body. And I like to draw what I find as well, if it's something new. That can be a really good way to familiarize yourself with this the more subtle details of a plant or a mushroom. Even if you're not a good artist, it doesn't matter. The point is that you're staring at it for a while. Mm-hmm. And I would also try to find 3 guides, at least. I would try to find a national guide. I like something that covers a whole region. And if you can find anything that's like smaller than that, like your city, you know, there's a foraging guide in Chicago, then you can grab one of those too. And that can help you to make sure that you're not getting confused by things that don't grow around you. Because a lot of times that will happen. You'll see somebody who's new to mushrooming whip out their Audubon guide and only reference that, but maybe not pay attention to the fact that the mushroom that they think they've found doesn't even grow in their area. So do a lot of cross-referencing.
Is there a difference between foraging in more rural areas versus urban ones?
Yeah. So some rural folks might get on me for saying this, but I am saying this from experience because I grew up in a very rural environment and I've since lived in urban environments. You're going to have more variety in an urban environment. And that is because plants follow people. People like planting things. We like being surrounded by plants. And we all come from different places. And when we do that, sometimes we bring new plants with us. So I do a lot of my best foraging in the city.
So are there any risks when it comes to foraging, both for the people and the environment?
Sure. So the main risks for people are self-injury. People who are sort of caught up in the Dunning-Kruger effect and maybe think that they've found something edible but haven't. This is the main content of my direct messages on Instagram and TikTok. People saying, hey, what is this? Is this a chanterelle? It tastes great. And I look at it and it's like Omphalotus ileodens or like jack-o'-lantern mushrooms. And I'm like, guys, no, you can't just eat things because you think that it's something you've heard of. So that's the main thing. In general, the bigger concern with the environment is it's not over-harvest as much as it is environmental damage. So people who are walking into a place looking for a specific thing and causing damage on the way.
Could there be any dangers in this increased interest in foraging that we've seen recently?
I think that over the past 100 or so years, there have been resurgences in interest in foraging. You know, Ewell Gibbons managed to capitalize on one. The hippies in the 60s. And frankly, there were millions of people on this continent who were eating the food that naturally grew here and cultivating that food for thousands of years since time immemorial, well before settlers moved here. So I don't think that there is environmental danger in renewed interest in foraging, because I think the people who would cause that damage are people who are not going to be interested for very long. Most foragers that have a lifelong interest in foraging also have a lifelong interest in maintaining the environment, in cultivating wild plants, and in being responsible with their habits. I think it can only be a good thing.
Nika, that was just so lovely. Fantastic job.
Why, thank you.
What was the most interesting thing that you learned?
Well, I thought it was so interesting to learn that urban foraging can be more successful than when you're foraging out in the wild. It really opens up a whole new world and makes foraging so much more accessible to people. You can do it right in your own city.
Yes, that blew my mind. That's better than mine. I was trying to think of like what my favorite part was, and that's definitely actually my favorite part. The plants follow the people, I think she said. That was so interesting. So I agree. For me, I think I thought that it was really crazy that the average apple at a grocery store is like a year old. That blew my mind. And I looked it up to make sure that that was true because it just seemed so insane to me. But it is true.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, anywho, thank you so much for joining me, Nico. It was really nice having someone else in the studio with me. This was fun.
Of course. Thanks for having me. And thank you, Gabrielle, for agreeing to talk with me. I had a great time.
And if you guys want to learn more from Gabrielle, you can check them out on TikTok at, what's their username?
Chaotic Forager. No spaces or anything.
Okay, Chaotic Forager. Wonderful. Yeah, I'll be stalking her stuff more tonight, so I'll see you guys there, hopefully. Anyways, I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know I did. And make sure to leave Nico and I a positive review on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you're listening from. I'm trying to get this bad boy off the ground, so give me some stars, please. Thank you, Freezer Bees. You rock. I'm thinking about using a new song from them this week. If you heard a new song, that's still them. So check out their music. Nico, would you like to thank the Night Center for employing us?
Sure. Thank you, Night Center, for paying us money.
Well said. Well said. And hey, shout out to the rest of the Echo team. This could be you. Come join me, please. Okay, that's about all I got. Email me episode ideas at msufoodvix@gmail.com, please. And thanks for listening. All right. I'm Cassidy Huff.
And I'm Nika Bradford.
And I'll see you next week. Bye. You want to say bye?
Bye.